Bibles tonight and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Pew Bible, it's page 1195. If you got the Pew Bible tonight, and 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 5. Okay, let's all stand and read this together responsively. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 5. I'll read verse 1, then you join me on verse 2. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy together. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh not unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that all you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. We're going to enter into an exciting topic tonight on the doctrine of tongues. How many have been around people or know people very well that believe in speaking in tongues? How many? Okay? Yeah, quite a few of you. Okay? If you haven't, you will. Once you become a Christian, you get going to church, won't be too long, and you're going to run into people that believe in speaking in tongues. Okay? It's actually quite popular among certain movements, Pentecostal, charismatic type churches, okay? And with it, there's quite a bit of confusion, really, about the whole matter of tongues and that. Now, some of you are sound doctrine, fundamental, been raised in churches like that, and you've got it all figured out. But it might not hurt you even to go and hear this tonight. I'm going to try to help some of you who kind of don't understand this. I'm going to try and help you tonight get the picture. It's really simple. It's very, very simple. It's not complicated at all. It's simple. And it's right here tonight. You're going to get it. And I think it'll help you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for these precious people. We want to edify the church just like we just read. And we want to build the church with truth and godly teaching and sound doctrine. And Lord, we pray that you will bless our time. We know the Holy Spirit is the teacher. He's the one who wrote the Bible, really, breathed truth from every page and every verse. And now he actually breathes understanding to us as we read it. So help us to read it, help us to love it, and help us to understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the title tonight, Truth, the Truth About Tongues. You may be seated. The spiritual gifts are what are, this is just a continuation of spiritual gifts. And it starts in chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14. All of those are all teaching about spiritual gifts. And all he's doing here is carrying on the thread of spiritual gift teaching. But he hits on this issue of tongues. But I'm sure glad he did, because it does help us in this day. Okay? Understand. Now, the book of Acts gives us the foundational teachings about tongues. Acts. Let's go, keep your finger here, Acts 14, and let's go back to, 1 Corinthians, let's go back to Acts chapter 2, okay? Acts chapter 2 and verse 3. Let's go back there. Learn to use your Bibles. Book of Acts chapter 2 and verse number 3. This is the first time we see tongues mentioned, but it is crucial that we go here to understand what tongues means, the teaching on tongues, okay? Acts chapter 2 and verse 3. It says there, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. This was a special sign upon this day only. It never showed up again ever in the scriptures, and as far as we know, never reproduced itself. There will never be another day of Pentecost. There'll be similar blessings of Pentecost because we live in the Pentecost age, but never this cloven tongues of fire. So when you hear about people saying, I saw fire come down on people, it wasn't, this happened here, and it was a special sign upon the church at that time for what was about to happen. Now we get into the real teaching here on tongue. Verse 4, okay, it says there, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, other tongues, and this is where it begins. They began to speak with other tongues. And this is what the charismatics and the Pentecostal movement get on. Now, I just talked to a guy last week. Anyway, I'm not going to get into this. Let's keep going here on this tongues issue. Just I talked to him about it, and he wants to sit down with me, and he wants to hear what I have to say. And it won't be what I have to say. If we sit down, I am going to show him what the Bible has to say. It's not about what I have to say. It's about what does the Bible teach. And I believe God has given me, has given me the gift of pastor, teacher, a preacher, so that I can teach people truth, okay? Now, verse number 11, you see here, the first verse, I want you to notice verse 4, though, filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke with tongues. Very important. Now verse 11, okay? Verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God, the tongues. So those are the references to tongues. Now, go up to verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak how? In his own language. They were confounded. They were amazed because everybody heard them speak in their own language. It's very important to get this, okay? Then it gives all the different people, just so in case, it says, verse 7, they're all amazed, verse 7. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? He's saying, how do these Galileans are speaking in this tongue, this other language, okay? They were amazed. This is amazing. This is what was happening on the day of Pentecost, and it happened all through the book of Acts. You see it pop up here and there. It was a special gift that God had for the spreading of the gospel at this particular time in this multiplicity of languages, okay? Now, let's go along with the context here, okay? It's very important. Verse 8, and how hear we every man in our own tongue? What's that word? In our own tongue. So they're saying, how on earth is this working? These guys are from Galilee. They don't know how to speak our language. They don't know how to speak Arabian, and they don't know how to speak Persian. They don't know how to speak, but we're hearing them speak in our own tongue. This is amazing, okay? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And then he goes down the long list. Just in case you're wondering, who are these people? Where did they come from? Where was their tongue, their language from? Let's go down the list. Verse 9, Parthians, Medes, Elamites. Verse number 10, Pergia, Pamphylia, and Egypt. And in the parts of Libya, both Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. Verse 11, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? What's going on? What meaneth this? What is going on here? Look at verse number, it was so unbelievable that they said, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. They're drunk. He's saying, these guys are drunk. They're talking, babbling, you know, they'd hear this guy speaking in Arabian, and he never spoke in Arabian before. And of course, they're full of joy. They're all happy because of the Pentecost experience. People are getting saved. There's something really, really amazing going on here. It's the doctrine of tongues. Now go to Acts chapter 10, verse 46. Acts 10 and verse number 46. Okay? Verse 45 first and verse 46. Verse 45. And they of the circumcision, and by the way, who are they? They of the circumcision, who is that? The Jews. When you see that, Jews. The Jews, they of the circumcision, which believed, that means they're Christians, were astonished, as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, up until now, this has been a Jewish program. This has been for the Jews only. Now, the Holy Spirit is being poured out on the Gentiles who were unclean to the Jews, who never would mix, and this was radical. This was a big change. The Holy Spirit being poured out on the Gentiles. Verse 46. And they heard them speak with what? They heard them speak with tongues. Good. I'm glad you're with me. And magnify God. Then answered Peter. Now, when you hear this, tongues, 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 it is a language that is being spoken by somebody that doesn't know the language. So if I had the gift of tongues, this is what I could do. I could go to the French community down at Albertville. I could go up to Albertville, and I could go into that big Catholic church that they have, the oldest, biggest Catholic church, I think, in Saskatchewan. And I could go into that church, and if they would give me the time, and I would get up there and I would preach in French, and I would be thinking I'm doing it, you know, I'm just preaching the truth, but what would come out of my mouth is French, and they would hear me and say, wow, this guy's from down, he knows French. Now, of course, today many people know French, but the gift of the language would be the ability to speak it when you didn't know it, okay? Acts chapter 19 and verse 6. Acts chapter 19 and verse 6. Acts 19 and verse number 6. Okay. We see another demonstration of this. Okay. Verse number 5. These guys get straightened out on baptism here, the right spiritual baptism. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So spiritual gifts came upon, in this particular chapter of the church, the apostles had this special gift of being able to lay hands on a person, and the gift of the Holy Spirit would be able to transmit or give that gift to a person or to a group of people, the apostles. Now, I don't believe that is for today. Now, we lay hands when a man is ordained to the ministry. We do that, but we recognize the gift that God's already given him. That's all that we do when we lay hands on somebody. We're praying for him, but it's evident he already has the gift. The gift is given to him by the Holy Spirit, okay? But there, so that's every time. Those are just a few of the instances where tongues are used. And the reason I brought this Acts 19 one up is you'll have guys today putting their hands on people, praying with them, and now you can speak in tongues. That is not the way God distributes gifts today, okay? We get how God distributes gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, and those are the chapters that are authorities on gifts. God has left authority on every one of these subjects. He's left certain portions of Scripture that are authority on yes and no, right and wrong, truth and error. We can go to it. Authority, that's what authority means. It means, okay, this is where we go. We always, and the thing with the gift of tongues that you will have, the tongues issue, is many people that believe in it, they will say this, I don't care what the Scripture says, I know what I've experienced, and I'm not going to change. Well, that's not how we're to live the Christian life. We're to test everything by the Scriptures. If the Scriptures have a different direction on it, we follow the Scriptures, not our feelings, and not a person, the Scriptures. Now, we might need help understanding and clarifying the Scriptures, and that's a good thing, and that's what church should be for, to help us and guide people gifted with preaching and teaching. Now let's remember here, let's go now to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, okay. 1 Corinthians 14, to get into this thing. Now the Corinthian church has suffered. They're a church that have lost their spiritual direction and order. That was the big thing about the Corinthian church. They had gifts. God had given these people gifts, but they were not using them in a spiritual way. And it was causing lots of confusion and disorder in the church. So that's what Paul is correcting here, disorder. They were out of order, okay? They were not following the proper order. And I want you to see in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 40. 1 Corinthians 14, 40. Let all things be done how? Decently and in order. Okay, let's all say that together. Let all things be done decently and in order. That's what Paul is correcting. Notice he's done this right at the end of 1 Corinthians 14. He's just covered 12, 13, 14. And he's saying, okay, now that I've given you the direction and the instruction, I want things done in order. The Corinthians, this lesson is about the spiritual gifts, in particular, tongues. Verse number 33, chapter 14 and verse number 33. Verse 33. This is what? For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. The word saints there simply means Christians. They're of all the Christians. We don't call Christians saints today. They're Christians, and we're believers, Christians. But in this time of the early church, they called them saints. Now we don't call people saints because some churches have made these saints, all these saints, and it's made just, you know, the devil's good at duplicating biblical words that really ruin it, like revival, gifts, the Holy Ghost, and all that. And so we recoil from it, and because there's so much error associated, but we need to teach it properly. But I want you to notice here, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. I want you to note here that it's to churches. It's for church. The Bible, the New Testament, is a manual instructing churches. It's about how churches are to operate and to function in order, decently and in order. Okay, verse 23, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, that's what he's getting corrected here. That's what we do, and that's what they did then. If the whole church comes together in one place. Now this is local church. You need to be a part of a local church. You need to be engaged in a local church. You need to support the local church. You need to be a member of a local church. You need to be a faithful helper in the local church, okay? The church, and that's the success or failure of where you go or end up will be your relationship to your church and what you do. The church, very important, okay? So, what was happening here, the Corinthian Christians were exalting their gifts, but not with the leading and direction of God-given authority and spiritual leading. So they were not doing it with spiritual direction, and they weren't submitted to authority. Do you realize that you need to be submitted to authority to be spiritual? Did you know that? You need to be under authority to be a spiritual person. Now, 1 Corinthians 14, let's go to verse number 2 in our text, verse 2. Verse 2, I want to bring out some very key words here. The first word, and I would encourage you, if you allow yourself to do this, underline this word in this text. It's important. It's the word understanding. Very, very important. In understanding tongues or any other doctrine, understanding. The Bible is given for understanding. We're to be understand what's being taught. We're to understand what we're reading. We're to understand the key to growing as a believer is understanding spiritual truth. It's not following rules. It's not a law. It's about understanding God's, what He's trying to get us to need to, for us to grow as Christians, as a church. Look at this, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man, what's that next word? Understandeth. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Now he's not talking about some babble here. Babel. He's talking about a guy that is coming to our church and he's ministering. And the way they would do it in those days is their services would probably last a couple, 3 hours. You know, people would come in. And this guy would come, he'd be given a turn to speak. And so he would come up and he would have a word, have a doctrine, have a something, a psalm, a doctrine, a revelation. So he would come up. Now remember, they didn't have a Bible then. Not a New Testament. They had the Old Testament, but not a New Testament. So a person would get up, he'd probably read something from the Old Testament, and then he would give revelation about what God was doing with their church, or I don't know, just truth that was revelatory truth. And he would come and he would say that. And then a little while later, we'd have another guy, he would get up and he would speak in a tongue. He would speak in Arabian, Parthian, something. But what was happening here, there might be only one guy in the church that was of that tongue, and he would get up and go on, and it wasn't in order, it wasn't under submission, it wasn't under the direction of a pastor, it was confusion, and Paul heard about this, and he's writing them to straighten this out, okay? Verse number nine. Chapter 14. So likewise ye, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be, what's that next word? Understood. Underline it. Put a nice underliner highlight there. Understood. How shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. He's saying, what's the point of speaking in a tongue if nobody understands what's being said? And by the way, that's reading. That is everything. The Bible needs to be understood to benefit us. Understanding it is very crucial. Verse number 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Underline the word understanding. Verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding, also used twice in that verse, underline understanding, understanding. It is a key to getting correction on this doctrine of tongue stuff. Understanding, okay? Now let's go to verse number 16. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest, what you're saying. He's saying understanding. The understanding is imperative. Verse 19, yea, in the church. Now make sure you underline that word church. It's for the church. I had rather speak five words with my understanding than if by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Paul said it's pointless. If you're saying something and nobody understands what's being said, don't say it. If you can put the words in words of understanding, that then it becomes what God uses to teach truth. We can read words, understand, hear words. If the words don't make any sense to us, it doesn't help you. It's not going to benefit you if you don't understand it. Now, the Bible, we need to make sure what we're reading, we understand. Now, there's all kinds of tools to help with that today. We have things today that it's amazing. We have our phones, we have our iPads and things. You can download dictionaries and helps that really help us with words. Remember when Ben and Wendy Burks were here. Wendy Burks had just discovered this little tool on eSword that we have, and I've got it on my computer and on my phone. I use it all the time. And by the way, I'll be showing that on Christian Growth Night. I'll be showing you how to use that. If you want to learn, come and learn. I'll be doing that down on Tuesday night. But because why do I? It's to not read the Bible, but just read it and understand it. When you come across a word you don't understand, look it up, and it will help you. It will help you grow and learn truth. Just reading Bible, if you don't understand what you're reading, the key is you must understand it. And that's what Paul, this is an amazing principle. Paul says, I would rather speak five words with understanding than 10,000 words if you don't understand it. Why? You can't, it's not going to help you. Okay? Very important. Understanding. Okay? Verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Now, what he's saying here is grow up. It's time to grow up. Learn, you growing up, understanding what you're hearing. Howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. Understand, line the word understanding. Okay, what he's saying here is grow up, Corinthian Christians. You're using your gifts, but not the right way. You are creating confusion and malice. What does the word malice mean? Malice. Anybody know? Malice? You have something in your... What? Huh? Evil. How did you know that? It says in your Bible. That's right. Evil. You got one of those... See? Malice means in evil, be you know, and trouble, evil in the church, trouble, malice, it's causing trouble. He says, be children. But in understanding... truth, be men. And he wants them to grow up. That's really what he's saying here. You guys in the church, grow up. There's another word I want you to notice and underline here. It's really important. Chapter 14 and verse number 3. Chapter 14 and verse number 3. This is the basis for this tongues. And we might not be able to finish this tonight, but I'm going to get a good start on it. Verse number 3. But he that prophesieth, speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Folks, I want to tell you what Bible truth is meant for. The church, it's to edify, it's to exhort, and to comfort. Did you get that? Underline those three words. They're very, very important. That's what truth is for. That's what church is for. That's what preaching is for. And I'm very careful who I let in here. I don't just let anybody. There's a guy preaching today in Saskatoon, and I'm just not so sure it was so good. I'll be interesting to hear this guy, where he's from. They don't, their church ministry is kind of like, They are very, their ministry is not got a great track record. So they've got a guy, they sent a guy to Saskatoon to preach at Haven Baptist today. And I'm a little concerned, because they don't follow this edification, exhortation, and comfort as the primary rules of preaching and teaching truth, okay? And there's other preachers that I have not had preach at this church because they are caustic. They don't use Bible truth to build people up. They use it in a very critical, caustic sort of way. And you need to sift through a ministry. Is the church receiving edification? Is the church receiving exhortation? Is the church really being comforted? Now, sometimes truth hurts. I always say this, the truth has got to get under your skin before it gets to your heart. You got to get this church, if there's something wrong in your life, truth is going to reveal it. But there's a way, it shows we're wrong, I'm on the wrong path, I'm believing the wrong thing, and you correct it. You doctrine, a correction, reproof, correction and righteousness, instruction and righteousness, those three, four things that the scripture teaches us. But Paul is making a point here. With the use of spiritual gifts, it should be edification, exhortation, and comfort. Okay? Look at verse 4. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. Underline the word edifies. Okay, verse number 12. Down to verse number 12, we see here, even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. You see that? That's what's important. Underline that, edifying the church, building the church, edifying the church, building the church, edifying the church, exhorting the church, comforting the church. That's the purpose of truth taught in the New Testament. Okay, verse number 17. Verse number 17. Okay. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. He's saying there's no edification happening with the gift of tongues the way you're using it. It's not right. Verse number 26. Verse 26. He says here, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. Edify. Underline the word edify in your Bibles. Okay? Mark your Bibles up. Use it. Mark it. Underline. Nice, neat underline. Keep your Bible neat. Don't make a mess of it. But key words like this really help me in my Bible study. Underline. So when you're reading this later, you'll go over this and say, I remember that. We learned that at church one night. And the doctrine of tongues is tucked in here in a very, very powerful way. Okay? Now, we've talked about the purpose of spiritual gifts: understanding, edification, exhortation, comfort. That is what God gifts the church to do. Okay, now, rules and orders for tongues for the church. Okay, first of all, I want you to know it's for the church and for churches. We see that in verse 23, verse 33, church and churches. Now, rules for the tongues, verse number 26. Okay, verse 26, we see here, well, there's an interpreter. Let hath an interpretation. Okay, there's an interpreter. I just want to be sure I got this. Verse number 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one, what's that next word? What's the next word? Interpret. Thank you, Joy. Good, man. You're right with it. Okay, let one interpret. Now, what he's telling, he's giving rules. He's giving principles of how tongues are to be used in a local church. And this is what he says. He's saying that let it be two, or at the most three, and that by course, and let one, you know what that means? He's saying, if you have somebody with a gift of tongues in the church, back in those days, this special gift, you can have one, two, at the most three. That's all. Three. But not without an interpreter, and you do it by course. That means each one takes their turn. Each guy takes his turn. Okay? Now, there's a turn, okay? There must be an interpreter. And there's also, I want you to notice here, verse 29, it's not just tongues he's addressing here, he's addressing prophets as well, the people with the gift of prophecy. Look at verse 29. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. What that means is, in the gift of prophecy, it wasn't just any guy coming in and saying, I'm a prophet, I got the gift of prophecy. It had to be judged. Was it really truth? How would you judge whether it was truth or not? It had to be judged with scripture and with mature people in the church that would judge if this is really truth or not. So everything had its instruction. Verse number 30. Verse 30, if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. Verse 31, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all be comforted. That was the purpose of prophecy, of the spiritual gifts, learning and comfort. Learning, exhortation, and comfort, okay? Now, there was another rule here. There was interpretation had to be there. There had to be prophecy, had to be judged. There was a rules. The point I'm making here, there was rules. There was real strict guidelines for using these spiritual gifts. Now, here's the next one, verse 34. Verse 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, for they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Under authority is really what he's saying here. Obedience under authority. Okay, verse 35. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it not only to you? And he's so basically making a point here that women are to keep silence. So, of these people with the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, number one, you had to do it three at the most in the church. It had to be by course, one at a time, with an interpreter. If there was no interpreter, you didn't speak in tongues in this early church. Then, the next thing he lays down very straight, let the women keep silent in the church. And my dear friends, I want to tell you right now, if the tongue movement of today were to follow these little basic 1 Corinthians 14 rules, you know what it would do tomorrow? It would completely stop all this tongues nonsense that's going on today under the gift and the ministry of tongues. It would. It just would. Now, I was teaching this lesson in a different kind of a format, but I was basically the same thing at the penitentiary the other night. I was going through spiritual gifts. You see, I practice on them and then I come and teach it to you. No, I'm not, just kidding. We're going through and these guys out at the pen, you know, so I'm preaching, teaching this. One guy just got really upset. He was a faithful guy coming to our every class, and he just kind of blew up. And he said, I speak in tongues. And I'm just kind of shocked. Like, he says, I speak in tongues. And I said, well, I'm not here to cause trouble. I'm not trying to cause I'm just trying to help you understand the proper teaching in tongues. And I'd said something just like I just said, that if you follow these rules, these guidelines, it would stop tongues. He said, I've spoken tongues all my life. And I thought, well, maybe that's part of the reason you're in prison. You know, I didn't say that, but that's a thought that will go through my mind. Because religious confusion, if you're mixed up in your Christianity, that's a beginning of trouble. Like, you know, truth is the key to set free, right? The truth shall make you free. The truth. We want to be true. We want to be right on all these things. We want to be on the right side of right. So he got up and I said, can I talk to you after? Let me talk to you, just you and me, rather than talking about it with all these guys, because I didn't want a bad situation. And so what I, you know, I did, and you know, this is what this guy told me. He says, I know what I've experienced with tongues. I know what I've experienced, and I can't accept what you're saying. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I am going to do what I think is right, not what I see is right. I am going to believe what I think is right, not what I see. And this is a guy that carries his Bible. I mean, he's a witness to Christ. I'm praying for him. I'm praying that God will. And he was at the last Bible study. I was there last week, and he was back. And and you know, that's what truth does. Truth has to get under your skin before it gets to your heart. Now we say, yeah, those Pentecostal people, they just don't have it. I'm telling you, a lot of them, it's ignorance. There's some very genuine Christian people in the Pentecostal churches. They are and I've met people like that are love the Lord, but they're off on this. They're just off. They just don't have a proper understanding of it. And some of the godlier ones, they won't make a big deal about it. They don't push it. I met this old couple in BC many years ago, and they were godly people, loved the Lord. But that's an exception, I have to say. It's an exception. A lot of them, it's a big deal to them. I just talked to somebody the other day. He says, we don't like to associate with the charismatics, but we believe in speaking in tongues. And I said, okay, that's interesting. I would like to know, and that guy is a guy who wants to visit with me. He wants to see. I said, well, I told him that I believe tongues is a language. It's a language. I think the Bible's very clear on that. And he said, well, I speak in tongues, he said. And I said, well, I think the tongues that people are speaking today and the tongues that are being taught in the New Testament are a big difference. But you have to get that from the Scripture. He said, I'll have to talk to you someday. I said, I'll be happy anytime you would like to do that. He's a good guy. He's a really good man. He's a good guy. I can tell the guy really. So time will tell. Truth will, where the truth prevails. Now, I want to tell you this. I know people who were in the tongue-speaking movement big time. They were in the tongue-speaking movement, and they were a part of that. They started seeking, and truth prevailed. And they started making choices and decisions based on biblical truth, and they came out of the tongue-speaking movement. I know a good friend of mine. He was a pastor. He actually, and he today, you just could never believe this guy used to speak in tongues. But anyway, he did at one time, I met him through teaching at a Christian school seminar. I was teaching a seminar in Manitoba, in Portage la Prairie, Manitoba, and he was in my class. And after the class, he came to me and we started talking. And we built a bit of a relationship. And in those days, you had to send letters by mail, like put a stamp on and send it in the mail. So we exchanged some of those things, mail like that for a while. He ended up coming to Bible College here in Prince Albert. Now, he'd already left the tongues movement, and he was now in a kind of a in a church that, but it was, he was hungering and thirsting for truth. And he ended up in the Bible school, went to Bible college, graduated, and became a pastor. So the point is, truth, just like everything, truth prevails. We have somebody coming to our church right now that has come out of, well, that is seeking. And this person was a part of that kind of church for many, many years. But things began to really bother her about what she was seeing, and has started coming to our church. And it's truth. And I'm telling you, this is what wrong doctrine does in our spiritual life. Wrong doctrine causes confusion. You'll just always have this confusion because it's like, how come I don't have this? Like, how come I don't have this gift, or I don't do this? The tongues movement today is causing more confusion in more people than probably any other thing, the charismatic movement. It is wrong. It's wrong, folks. Spiritual gifts are right. Spiritual gifts are God's blessing to the church. But understanding it, the truth of how God does it and what he's doing and what the purpose of it for. And so on this matter of tongues. Now, we got some more to do. We're out of time. I don't want to go. We got my little kids and mums and kids here. We got to get home. So thank you. We're going to have another night of this. It's good stuff, and it's really important. Spiritual gifts, very important. Let's pray.